Citizens of Kamchatka, grab a Jif peanut butter and a flaming spear, because it's time to go into the Upside Down. What's going on, demo dogs and demo cats? Welcome back into the Upside Down, the bi-weekly Except for Today podcast, where we talk everything Stranger Things. Welcome to our bonus episode leading into Volume 2 of Stranger Things Season 4. And I'm your co-host, Damien, and with me is the guy that doesn't know how to roller skate, but he'll hit a bully with one, the great Scott.
Ahoy! Hey, how did you know about that? Because Dr. Sam Owens was just supposed to make that kind of go away. Well, that Angela deserved it, so.
And just for the record, we do not condone violence, unless it's against fictional bullies in TV shows by people that are in the same age bracket as them. So I think we covered all the bases there.
Great disclaimer. Thank you. Our lawyer would be proud.
So yeah, today's just a bonus episode, guys, because if you're like us, you're chomping at the bit to see Volume 2 of Stranger Things Season 4. We did our predictions in our last episode. So for this episode, we figured we'd have a little bit of fun. We're going to do some Stranger Things trivia. We're also going to take a BuzzFeed quiz, and we will link these on our Instagrams and Twitters, which you can find us at Into the Upside Down Pod on Instagram and at gmail.com if you want to drop us a line, and on Twitter
at @into_upside_down.
Perfect. Perfect.
The BuzzFeed quiz that we will take is called While We Wait for Season 4, Volume 2, I Want to Know Where You Stand on These Stranger Things Preferences. So, Damien, for the first question, it is first, which Stranger Things season has been your favorite so far? And I'm going to be an absolute Murray maniac here, a crazy person. I'm going to say Season 2.
Season 2. I am going to go with Season 3. I know it wasn't everyone's favorite, but just the 80s aesthetic, the mall culture, like I've said before, just love it.
And I just always pick two because everyone hates on it. So let's check into the results. And not surprisingly, Season 4 is the highest with 36% of the vote. But your choice, Season 3, is in second place currently with 28%.
Nice.
And no big surprise, Season 2, which I picked, which I still think is great, is last 15%, followed by Season 1 in second place, 21%.
Not so bad. Glad I came in second, first for out of our picks.
Come on, man. You beat me at everything. Predictions, at the quiz. Jeez. Okay, so question two. Which one of Elle's hairstyles do you like the most? So for our listeners, it would be obviously Season 1. She's rocking the buzz cut. Season 2, she has that slick back hairdo that we see later on after the Lost Sister episode. Season 3, her normal haircut, and Season 4 is featuring her bangs, her Joyce haircut. So pick your favorite. I'm going to say Season 3.
Season 3. I'm actually going Season 4. I just really like the little touch that she had the same style as Joyce, because I mean, really, she didn't have a mother figure in her life. So I really like that she was kind of taking after her style a lot. And I just thought that was a really nice little touch. Oh man. Season 3 by far.
So we brought up the results here. Season 3 is in first place currently at 76%. Oh. But in second place is the Season 4 haircut, the bangs, at 11%. Ironically, 11 for 11. I would just take Season 3 honestly, because I think it's like when she was like her most confident, like in her normal life, yeah, like her first time out at the mall. You know, and I was just so happy for her. So that's why I chose that.
Good call.
Okay. So
now, oh man, this is going to be a good one.
Which song was your favorite throughout the season? So we have Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, Material Girl by Madonna, the Stranger Things theme song, Should I Stay or Should I Go Now by The Clash, You Spin Me Around Like a Record by Dead or Alive, or Something Else. So what do you choose, Damien?
I mean, I know everyone's riding the Kate Bush train right now, but I got to go Something Else, Tarzan Boy, because that outside of the show is by far one of my favorite songs in Beverly Hills Ninja, you know, in AEW, Jungle Boy Jack Perry uses it as his theme song. So when I heard it at Rinkomania, I lost my mind. And of course, it was like 4 in the morning, so I couldn't tell anybody about it. I just had to say, when you watch this episode, text me, you'll understand. And everybody I sent that to is like, Tarzan boy. I'm like, yes.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, listen, if you haven't watched it by now, come on. What are you doing?
You were being, you know, you were trying to avoid spoilers on that date, but hey, by now it's totally cool, man.
Yeah.
In a few weeks. But I do love that song. I'm gonna go with an absolute banger, and it's not Kate Bush, which is amazing, but the Stranger Things theme song, my good favorite call,
man. Classic, and it's just there, zero lyrics, just synthesizer, so good.
Our boys Dixon and Stein really created a banger there.
Wow, look at these results.
Woo!
Yeah, so I mean, in first place, Kate Bush running up that hill, 48% of the vote.
Woo.
Then we got in second here, looks to be, yep, Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash at 20%. Then we have the Stranger Things theme song at 14%. Coming in at 7%, Material Girl by Madonna. 6% of the votes went to You Spin Me Round Like a Record by Dead or Alive. And then 5% went to Something Else. And I really would like to see the 3,800 people that voted on that, what their song would be from the show. But there's some good ones. Tarzan Boy, Rock Me Amadeus. So, you know, really cool. But I mean, Kate Bush, it's just, that's probably going to forever be the song that's most synonymous with Stranger Things, especially because of that scene, just the way it tied in the lyrics. So really, really cool.
All great choices there. The 1980s hits that we've heard through all four seasons are always great choices. Moving on, we have who was the best new character introduction? So reading off the list as the options, we have Max, Eddie, Robin, Angela, Erica, Chrissy, Murray, and Bob.
Oh man, you had a couple of my heavy hitters in this one too.
My goodness, the toughest question of all time. So who was the best new character introduction? So I guess we're just talking about how they were introduced as a new character.
I would have to go Eddie. He had that monologue, climbing up on the table, you know, getting everybody's attention in there, like just 100% like charisma, swagger. It was just a very good intro to his character. So I'm going to go Eddie.
Love that. Let's see. Wow. So many good choices. I'm going to choose Robin.
Okay.
I think just, you know, she kind of came in fast and furious in the mall, calling Steve a dingus and making fun of him and
belittling him right away.
She just came in like with awesome sarcasm and asking him why, you know, he was hanging out with young children like Dustin. So I just thought it was a great way to introduce her and her
dry humor. Yeah. Very funny.
Her dry humor just really set the stage for her character. So especially in season 3. So just love that. So let's see what the results are.
Woo! Ooh, wow. It's pretty close, man.
Wow.
Shout out to Angela for getting 0% of the votes, although there's a couple hundred for her. But and for the 280 people that voted for Angela, what are you doing?
You may need to go see Miss Kelly to talk to her about your problems. Come on.
Oh man, geez, a lot of low scores here. I don't even know how to start. Like, we want to read these ones.
Well, yeah,
you won. I know. You were close, man. Wow.
Woo, yeah, we were both at the top. Damien saying Eddie, appears to be third place with 22% of the vote. And then Robin is just slightly ahead of him with 26% of the vote. But first place was Mad Max herself with 28%.
Yeah. And I, you know, when she was first introduced, I wasn't like 100% sold on her. And then like, as you learn why she's so like closed off and sheltered and stuff because of like the way Billy treats her and, you know, just kind of not really having acceptance anywhere that she's been. And then obviously everything with her in season 4. So I completely understand why, but pretty surprising to see it's pretty close up there at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And sorry to Chrissy, who only got 1% of the vote as well as a nice character who was introduced by getting thrown into the ceiling and having her eyeballs sucked out.
Oh man.
All right, next question. Which duo are you rooting for the most? So we have all the nicknames for our couples here. We have Stancy, we have Lumax, we have Malevin, we have Will just loving himself, followed by Jopper or Jancy.
I mean, come on, man. I gotta go Stancy on this one. And you know, I'm a Jopper guy too, but listen, Jopper, they're reunited right now in Russia. So, I mean, for me, you know, I gotta go Stancy. They aren't together yet. So
that's so true. Stancy, I hope becomes a thing before Steve ultimately perishes. Hopefully not. I'm gonna go with our boy Will.
All right,
Will, nice. Just loving himself. He Will's gone through some stuff, guys. He's been in the upside down. He had the mind flare go up his nose.
Nobody wanted to play D&D with him.
Yeah, we skipped his birthday at Rinkomania. I mean, come on, the list never ends. This guy, he's loving himself. I'm voting Will. Okay.
Okay.
Wow. We scrolled down there a little bit. You want to read this one, man?
Yeah. So, I mean, with 41% of the vote, we got Jopper. Then next up, we have 23% of the vote going to Stancy. And then 16% of the vote, just Will loving himself. Appreciate that. I like that a lot. 12% of the vote went to Lumax. Then 4% of the vote went to Malevin and Jancy. I think I got everything right. I'm
not surprised about Malevin. It seems like they've been on some rocky road here the last couple.
That Jopper stuff though, man. I mean, you know, she did fly all the way to Russia to break him out of a high security prison. So that is that's definitely love. I mean, that's the kind of love you got to root for right there.
Yeah, and just like with no question at all, just getting $40,000 out of the bank in the 80s. I mean, that's a lot of quiche.
Oh, must be nice. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. How does she have like all this nice stuff? I'm like, oh, wait, because they're covering up everything because her poor son got tortured by monsters in the upside down and prodded and all this other stuff. That's why she has so much money.
She got a large cash settlement and she called JG Wentworth to get her cash now.
She called John Morgan.
He's a great guy. He can help you if you get in an accident. Okay, so moving along, Damien, which monster has been the best so far? So when they're going by monster, they're saying, of course, Demogorgon for season one, the season two Mind Flayer, and then we also have the season three Mind Flayer, the physical form in the mall, and season four, Vecna.
I mean, by far Vecna, because we haven't had characters or, you know, at least monsters that have spoken. And Vecna has been the most calculating, cerebral villain that we've had in this show so far outside of some of the human characters. So for me, for sure, definitely got to go with Vecna.
Vecna is so cool. Love the guy. And I'm going to say, because I love season two so much and I miss him, the original, the Mind Flayer from the Upside Down.
Nice.
So let's see what we got here.
Whoa. Look at that one right there. So, wow, man. I'm surprised. Wow. All right. So 61% of the vote went to our boy, Vecna. One, Henry Creel, not Peter Ballard. Creel. Why do I have such a hard time saying that? Creel. Okay.
Don't call him Peter, but we'll call him Peter if you listen to our podcast.
You can call me Pete. Call me Pete. Do, 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 do. 16% went to our season one villain, the Demogorgon. 14% went to the physical form of the Mind Flayer from season three. And in last place, Scott's pick, the Mind Flayer from season two, with 9% of the vote.
Thank you to the other 6,000 people that went with our boy, the Mind Flayer.
I mean, dude, he was great. I prefer that over the physical form just because, you know, he took the lives of so many, especially Doris Driscoll. So
I am still just torn up, so sad about Mrs. Driscoll. So, you know what? Screw the season three Mind Flayer, man. She's a part of him. So I don't like him. I want her back. All right, moving on. What was the best way to communicate from the upside down? Yes, it is a great question. We have the original Christmas lights. We have the chandelier, the light bright, and the lamps. So what do you say, man? Oh, I think I know his answer. He is holding up a light bright, folks. He has the light bright on and it says Stranger Things in the lights.
I got to change it for volume two there. Dude, you could do so many things with that. Surfer Boy Pizza, like Demogorgons and stuff. It's cool. But yeah, I'm going light bright for sure.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to go original Christmas lights. Joyce
OG
stringing them up. It's so cool.
Dude, woo! Joyce figured out so much stuff, man. Oh, wow. So, okay. 63% of the votes went towards Christmas lights, 30% for light bright, 4% lamps, like makes sense, and 3% chandelier. But yeah, I mean, the Christmas lights were so innovative, man, because Joyce literally, like, we had the same amount of knowledge as her at that point in time. So for her to figure this stuff out was just incredible. Whereas like when the light bright comes around, chandelier lamps, like kind of figure out, okay, well, oh, lights might be able to communicate through that. So there was a little bit of knowledge there, a little bit more of a, you know, advantage, would you say?
Definitely. Yeah. The light bright, you could get so creative with that. But that iconic, the Christmas light scene in the buyer's living room, I still love it. All right, man. We have our final question before we move on to trivia. This will be last but not least, who is your favorite main character? We pretty much have the whole gang here, so we can just make our pick. Damien, who is your favorite main character?
I got to go Dusty Bun. Dustin. Henderson. As
you're literally wearing his hat right now, which is amazing.
Come on.
He's got the thinking cap on.
Dustin, yeah, I got to go Dusty Bun. Oh yeah, by far, man. He's just been, he's been the one guy that's like the, to me, he's almost like the Peter Venkman of this cast. Like he's got the sense of humor, but he's also like intelligent and like knows how to handle problems and things like that. So he's been since season one, like I said, in our last episode, my favorite character.
He is one of the best, truly, if not the best. And I'm going to choose old reliable Jane Hopper, 11. She is my favorite without a doubt. And I just feel so bad for her. Just like I mentioned Will earlier, you know, always rooting for her. She's had such a horrible life. She's been poked and prodded in Hawkins' lab. She's had to save the world multiple times. So I'm going to go with 11.
Nice.
And just for the results, and she is not very high on the list.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. Steve. Wow. So it's a two dog race here between everyone's favorite bromance of Steve and Dustin.
Wow. 34%
for Steve, 23% for Dustin. And then, I mean, geez, man, you're talking single digits for pretty much everybody except for, and Max at 10%, 11 at 8%, Lucas and Jonathan getting next to no love at 1%, Nancy at 2%, Mike at 1%. So, yeah, there you go. You have your, have everyone's favorite bromance right there, front and center.
My God, and charge. I don't blame people. Like they are something to watch, and I hope we don't lose them ever because I want them to continue on in a spinoff. But
need a buddy cop movie or something.
Seriously. if Chief Hopper, you know, doesn't make it back, I think Steve could be a perfect candidate for Chief in the future.
Ooh. Yeah, so the current chief of police looks like he's in over his head there a little bit.
Yeah. We don't know. I mean, he's struggling a little bit with the satanic panic. So maybe Flo should be the chief.
Oh man, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that, Chief. So folks, we now will be moving on to our trivia portion, which is called the Ultimate Stranger Things Quiz. It says only 1% of fans will get 100%.
Dude, I'm going to probably botch it. We'll see.
Okay. We figured maybe we would go back and forth with the questions.
And hopefully our collective brains can be in the 1%.
Yes. Yes.
Oh man, the top 1%. Ain't it?
If we really are truly paranormal investigators, we will score 100% here when we combine forces.
This isn't good.
Okay, so I guess I could read the first question and you could answer. Maybe we could rotate. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Let's see what we got here.
All right, man. So
Quizomania.
This is great name with Quizomania. All right, so there are 15 multiple choice questions. We have 6 seconds to answer. And it will get harder as it goes along. So I will read question number one here, which is an easy question, starting off easy. Damien, what song helps rescue Max from Vecna's curse? I want to break free. We've got to get out of this place, running up that hill, or run away.
Oh, it's definitely got to be running up that hill.
I would agree with you on that one. And that is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, and then there's also a fun fact here. So it says, in order to use Running Up That Hill for Dear Billy's stunning finale, Kate Bush herself was shown the scenes for approval, which is so cool.
Glad she signed off on it.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? What songs would they be using if they didn't have it?
I don't even know, man. I couldn't even think of what song you could plug into that, to be honest with you, that would like make sense.
And they have it. They've used it for so many commercials, trailers. I think they would just be using Tarzan Boy, probably.
Swinging on Vecna's vines to get out of the upside down.
Another fun fact, it says, if you look carefully at Winona Ryder's season 4 premiere suit, you'll see that she does have a Kate Bush badge in her honor. There's a little pin with Kate Bush's face.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very neat. Great fun fact. All right, man. So I'll read this one.
At Surfer Boy Pizza, everything is fresh except for what? The pepperoni, the pineapple, the anchovies, or the delivery boy?
It's the pineapple, which comes in a can.
But he still recommends slapping that on some of your pizza.
All right. Yes, there we go.
Got it.
It was correct.
That's kind of cool. So the Byers California house is actually a house that was found in New Mexico, and it had all the original like period specific fixtures. So everything 80s, you know, mid to late 80s was already in that house. So I'm sure they walked in there and were like, oh, this is great. We don't have to build something. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. And especially that it's in New Mexico.
Yeah. So cool. They got a little break on their taxes probably by filming there instead of California. Great job.
And also, so the team did add some things, new carpet, some wallpaper and paint, but pretty much aside from that, it was a time capsule straight out of the 80s.
I love that the house apparently is an Airbnb now as well that you can stay at.
Oh, so can you imagine how much money those people are making?
They're cashing in.
All right, Scotty, your question, question three.
Okay, here we go for you. Where does Vecna's clock first appear? Is it the school corridor, inside a tree, the school bathroom, or inside a grave?
That'd be inside a tree.
Oh, yes. Great call. And he is correct. Ding, yeah. Ding, ding.
Inside all we saw was Vecna's ugly-ass feet in the bathroom.
It's so true. The creepiest introduction of all time.
Wow. Oh, so Vecna's clock wasn't actually like made by set production. It was something that the decorator found at an estate sale, which... we're seeing tons of people post these things on the internet now, which they're like, oh no, I found this weird clock. Like, I don't know what I should do.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm staying away from grandfather clocks forever.
My gosh. I really hope when I move into the Creel house in real life that it's not there anymore. Let's see. Oh, the team did modify the clock a bit and made copies of it, explaining how it can turn up in so many creepy places. That is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
All right, man. So moving on, I think the questions are going to start getting harder now.
So what film does Jonathan suggest going to see? Three Amigos, Short Circuit, Police Academy 3, or The Golden Child?
Oh, that was Police Academy 3. And it sucked. And he read it from the newspaper.
That is right.
Yes.
And Will's like, I heard it sucked. He's like, oh. So that's actually, wow, a historically accurate reference. So that was released March 21st, 1986, the same day that season 4 begins. That is awesome.
They did their homework on this one.
They do their homework on everyone.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. What am I saying? Oh, and the original Mrs. Butterworth.
Yeah, that was probably model. For 1986.
Seriously, that's from the archives. All right, man. So moving on. Question 5. What is the name of Eddie's band? Is it Grave Danger, Corroded Coffin, Cracked Gravestone, or Defiled Tomb?
It is B, because Chrissy said it first, Corroded Coffin.
Yes, she remembered. She remembered. I believe this is going to be right. And it is Corroded Coffin. Good call, man. So to nail Eddie's authentic metalhead look, the costume designers reached out to the estate of Ronnie James Dio to source a band shirt.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, he's very metal.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He just like fits right in with that look. Dio's wife sent the team vintage band t-shirts to help complete his look.
That's very cool.
Man, so authentic. True to the story.
All right, so I ask this one now. What torture device do the Russians use on Hopper? The spider, the elephant, the aardvark, or the bear?
The elephant, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Come on.
Oh, okay. So the Russian segments were actually filmed in Lithuania in a prison that I can't pronounce any of those words. Providing Hop with less than comfortable lodgings, which I guess it's probably some kind of like defunct prison, kind of maybe like Eastern State near us here in Philly.
Yes, 100%. And I think they also filmed scenes from Chernobyl there too, which is really cool.
Oh, okay.
We're not in Hawkins anymore. Oh, yes, right. Okay. What film does Steve recommend to the customer in Family Video? Lawrence of Arabia, The Graduate, Dr. Zhivago, or Streetcar Named Desire?
I feel like it's Streetcar Named Desire.
Woo, okay, let's see.
If not, it's Dr. Zhivago.
Let's see. Is it?
Damn it, I knew it.
You had it, the second guess. No. Oh, man. So originally season four was going to feature more of a Steve-Eddie rivalry after the Wild Metalhead joined the Hawkins crew. Interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
But we can see they're actually become friends. But as Ross Duffer points out, he's so charismatic that it's like, how can you not like Eddie? And it's kind of how what started with Steve. It was like we hated him, then we loved him.
Crap, man. I let us down. We got one. I mean, we did get like six or seven right in a row. So, right? Six. Oh, these are hard ones. Good thing you're starting. I'm going to blow this.
Okay, man, we got this. We still have plenty more questions to nail here.
All right. So what product is Urian famous for smuggling into Russia? That's the question. Are you serious? How is this a hard question?
Come on.
Damn it. He gets all the easy ones. The guy from Big Daddy. Come on.
Oh, my God.
So we got Jif peanut butter, Reese's peanut butter, Skippy peanut butter, Peter Pan peanut butter.
Well, if I go by the opening of the show, I will say Jif peanut butter.
And there you go. That's correct because there was a freaking crate of it there. Come on. Choosy moms choose Jif.
Oh, man. Would have been a perfect question for you.
Was it a hard question? I would have dunked on that and I can't even touch the net.
Well, they're also saying Jif isn't the only popular brand that's popping up this season.
Oh, no. Mrs. Buttersworth. Light Bright. Yeah. That's true. Coca-Cola. We did have Mountain Dew during the Hellfire Club scene. Our boy Grant is eating a bag of vintage Doritos as well in the that little poster picture of all the Hellfire Club.
Yes. It's so awesome to see. And some Skittles, too. Oh, that must have been from the flashbacks, maybe, between Max and Lucas. Maybe there's others. Okay, man. This is a question for you. Eddie's uncle compares Victor Creel to which movie monster? Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, or Norman Bates?
I feel like it's too on the nose. I feel like, shoot. You got it. I just want to say Freddy Krueger, but I just feel like that's too on the nose. So I'm going to go with Michael Myers.
Yes.
All right. Woo. Cause I mean,
come on. He did it, folks.
We did get that Freddy Krueger, cardboard cutout in Family Video.
Yes. So they really try to throw you off. Okay. Let's see. Old Victor Creel is played by Robert Englund, who famously starred as Freddy Krueger in A Nightmare on Elm Street. The Duffer brothers say A Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors was a specific influence on season four.
Oh yeah.
And you're right that, Eddie's uncle, oh yeah, right now they're saying that you'll even see Freddy Krueger in the background. Cardboard cutout of Family Video. But Eddie's uncle did mention him. I think he said something like, oh yeah, the guy that killed like the babysitters with the white mask or something. Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. All right. Oh, this one I know, but it's your question. So what color are the socks Mike buys at Rinkomania?
Woo. All right.
Barf brown, puke yellow, Chunder Lime or Vomit Green?
Oh my gosh, I think it was Vomit Green.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh my gosh, he already knows it's correct. Come on. Oh my god, I thought it might have been puke yellow for a second.
Because there was just nothing that bright and obnoxious in that scene of them sitting there except for that.
Okay, so what D&D alignment is Erica's character, Lady Applejack? A chaotic good, a lawful good, a neutral evil, or a chaotic evil?
I want to say chaotic good.
Okay, let's see. I think that's right. Yes. Woo! Come My on, man baby. Knows the D&D references. And it says, here's one for D&D fans. Technically, Vecna wasn't a big D&D figure until the 1990s, but the Duffer brothers cheated a little bit. That's really cool. I'm so glad that he made it in. We thought Eddie is so advanced, and the idea of Vecna did exist in the lore that he could have brought Vecna back to life.
Ooh.
Wow. So cool. And there's our chaotic good, Lady Applejack. All right.
All right. This one's for you now. Ooh. These are the brutal questions. All right. Let's see. So what is the third word spelled out on the Light Bright toy from the upside down? Is it help, SOS, guarded, or stuck? I think I got this one.
Okay. I think first. Well, they already did SOS. Yeah. Wait. I think I'm going to say guarded.
Okay, we'll see.
Yes!
Yes, okay.
Come on.
It took them a while because they could only do so many letters on there. Guar. Guar. Guar.
Guar?
Guar. Guar. Guard. Guarded.
Okay, this says, cool. Interior scene set in the upside down is 95% practical effects. Even the spore particles in the air are real. The team floats organic pussy willow fluff to create
a
stakeable atmosphere.
Which maybe that was something that actually happened when Steve breathed one in. He's like, I breathed one of those things in.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, this is my question. I got this one.
All right, Damien. What number is on Lucas's basketball jersey? Is it 6, 7, 8, or 11?
It is 42. Just kidding. This is a reference to Kobe Bryant, number 8. There you go.
Correct. Come on, Kobe. Lucas, game-winning shot.
Caleb McLaughlin basically said that he chose number 8 in honor of Kobe Bryant. That was what a lot of people drew parallels to when they were watching it. And yeah, he said he just wanted to pay homage to him, which is very cool.
It's awesome. He's a big basketball fan.
And he's a state champ now.
Yeah, go Tigers.
All right, so here we go. Question 14. So we got one more to go after this. What is Reefer Rick's full name? Rick Conroy, Rick Joyner, Rick Kimbrough, Rick Lipton.
I have a feeling it's Rick Lipton. I'm going to go with that. Let's see.
That's my pick too. We'll see.
Yes.
Hey,
come on. Rick Lipton.
Wow. So Maya Hawke, who plays Robin, said that this scene contains her favorite line of the season. That's a lot of Ricks.
How could so many Ricks live in Hawkins? I mean, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s. There's Ricks, Johns, Jims. Oh, my goodness. Oh, crap. Well, this is my question. So,
okay, man. So, Damien, for the final question, what is the name of Elle's new Californian teacher? Is it Mrs. Gracie, Mrs. Wilson, Mrs. Booker, or Mrs. Randall?
I am going Mrs. Randall.
Okay, Mrs. Randall. Well, let's see here, folks.
I could just hear Angela yelling that out loud.
Oh, no, Gracie, no.
Ugh.
Her D-Rayama, her adorable
diorama,
Hopper's Hut, is built inside a Reebok shoebox.
Yes.
Fun fact.
Man.
Got a Reebok going on here.
I cannot believe I got that wrong.
Oh, so sorry, man. The prop department chose this deliberately as Joyce is always wearing Reeboks in the show. Man, so there you have it. Sorry, man. So we got what? 13 out of 15? That's pretty good. 13
out of 15 is still pretty good. That's better than I ever did on an actual test in my life. So. Taken.
Well, if you know, because we did so poorly, we're hoping that we can call our good friend out in Salt Lake City, Utah, Susie, to fix our score for us. Hack in.
She might be able to correct those two that I got wrong. Damn it.
So true. But hey, look at this. Right now it's telling us if we got all 15 points, we'd be an A plus, but we do fall in the A category, which was 12 to 14.
So that's good. So we could still rejoice. If you got a B, you would have 9 to 11 points and be the Creel deal. You would get a C if you got 5 to 8 points and you would be all around Robin. You would get a D if you got 1 to 4 points and you would be the buyer's remorse. And E, you would get 0 points if you're in the Hellfire Club. Flub. That's awesome.
Hellfire Flub.
So rejoice, you know, hey, listen, if we got less than an A, I would be kind of disappointed as we're a Stranger Things podcast. So I let the team down on this one here with those two. Maybe we'll do some more down the road. I'm sure there's going to be more quizzes once volume 2 comes out. So have to do a little bit more studying, but that was fun, man.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to do this again. And I hope if you were playing along, I hope you got an A+, all 15, right? You'd be the hop of the class. And you'd also be one of the 1% that got it right all the way through. So hopefully you guys played along and had a good time with us.
Yeah. And this was just a little fun episode, guys. We just wanted to kind of have a little bit of fun, do something Stranger Things oriented before volume 2 comes out. And we obsess over that for the next couple months. But we will post these links on our socials so you guys can take both of these quizzes. One of them was on YouTube and then the other one was on BuzzFeed. So you'll be able to do that. And let us know what your scores are too. Share them with us at intotheupsidedownpod@gmail.com. Write us a line, send us your theories, send us your reactions. We will read them during our following episodes. You can also follow us at Into the Upside Down Pod on TikTok as well and Instagram. And I believe it's into_upsidedown.
Yes, you got it.
At into_upsidedown. I'm not very good with how, even though it's the same thing as Instagram. Yeah, there you go.
Folks, he's having a good day. Finally got it.
My brain's still fried after, whiffing on those two questions there.
Don't worry, man. You'll nail it when we do the volume 2 trivia.
But yeah, guys, that is it. So this will be the last podcast we do before volume 2 comes out. So we just want to say enjoy it. Try and stay spoiler free. Not everyone will wake up at 3 a.m. or 12 a.m, depending on where you live or somewhere in between to watch this, but definitely enjoy it. Try and stay off social so you don't get spoiled, because you know that stuff happens 5 minutes into it. So enjoy, let us know your thoughts. We'll catch you for our reactions during July 4th week. Obviously have a great 4th of July, everybody. And we will talk to you next time when we go into the Upside Down.
Enjoy volume 2. See you, nerds.